Praise God. Let's just take a moment to thank Him this morning before we get into the Word of God. Oh, Father, we praise You. We lift our voice to You this morning, Father. Your faithfulness is new every single morning, Father God. And we thank You for Your faithfulness to us here today, Father. We worship You and thank You this day, Lord. Father, we thank You today for revelation knowledge by the power of the Spirit of the living God. And we look to You today, Father. You are the healer. Man is not the healer, but You are, Father. And we thank You for Your faithfulness to Your Word. What You said in Your Word is the truth, Father. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to see everybody this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's go over today to the book of Romans. The scripture says His mercies are new every morning. Amen. So every time you wake up in the morning, you look out and say, a fresh batch of mercy is there for me today. Amen. In Romans chapter 4, we're going to read a couple of verses here, then I'll share what we're going to talk about here this morning. Praise God. One of the biggest mistakes that people make is they think that healing school is for only people that are sick. You know what I'm saying? No, it is. Don't get me wrong. But actually, healing school, our goal in this, in healing school, and I believe the Lord's will, is that we get to the place where our faith is getting so built up and so built up that when sickness or pain come against us, we can push that thing away quicker and quicker. Amen? You know, it's kind of like a muscle. You ever hear atrophy? Muscle atrophy? What is that? That means you haven't used that muscle in a while. And you go to use it and there's no strength there. Okay? And spiritually speaking, our faith is, that's what I see it, is like faith is like a muscle. Okay? And when you use your muscles, naturally speaking, they get stronger. You push weight away. And weight doesn't make you strong. It's when you resist it. Amen? It's not the test and the trials of life that make you strong. It's meant to crush us. Okay? But it's when we use our faith in the Word of God that we begin to push that thing away that we become stronger and stronger in the Lord. Amen? Now, we're going to look at a guy in the Bible that I'm sure you've heard of by the name of Abraham, and he's called the father of faith, okay? And our faith roots go all the way back to Abraham, all the way back in the Old Testament, 3,500 years ago. Amen? And in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all seed, not that only which is of the law, but that which is also of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. As it is written, verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Notice that God calls those things which be not as though they were. Who against, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And verse 19, this is talking about Abraham. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, talking about the Lord, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Verse 23, it says, and now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. It was written for us as well. Now, let me read the Amplified from verses 19 through 21, okay? You can follow along here up there. And it says that he did not weaken, talking about Abraham, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, when he was good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver doubtfully, question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able to, God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Amen. Now, I love this account about Abraham because he's the best example that we have of the Bible kind of faith. Amen. And here, Abraham and Sarah were unable to have children when they were young, let alone 90 and 100 years old. They were about 10 years apart. Abraham is about 10 years older than his wife. Okay? And so God comes along and says, you're going to have, you'll see how I'm going to tie this in today to faith and so forth with healing. When God comes along and he gave them a promise that you're going to become the father of many nations, the very first thing that God did was he changed their name. Now, the phrase I want to focus on today is that Abraham was, he was fully persuaded. Say, fully persuaded. Did you know that with any given subject, whatever it might be, you can either be partially persuaded or fully persuaded? Have you ever been partially persuaded before? Yes. About anything? That might be a product. It might be something you buy, and you know, and you're like, I'm fully persuaded. This is good for me. I need this. You know what I'm saying? And it could be anything. But with anything in the Bible, you can become partially persuaded, or I want to become fully persuaded. Now, Abraham became fully persuaded. Now, he didn't start out that way. Neither did Sarah. And the first thing that God did was he changed their names. Now, in the Bible, names are, they have significance. You know, nowadays, there you get books that are this thick that have, if you're going to have a child, you know, a boy or girl, and there's 1,001 names, you can, probably more than that, you can pick from, you know, and you kind of go through, I like that, no, I don't like that name. But see, in the Bible, names had significance. Names had meaning. Okay? And when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, God put his initial in there, H, like Yahweh. And God said, now you're the father of many nations. So he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, right? God changed Peter's name from Cephas, right? Reed to Rock. He changed his name. Paul's name was changed from Saul to Paul, all right? And he'll change your name. But there's significance in the name because Abraham meant father of many nations. So someone said, hey, Abraham. I said, no, it's Abraham. Abram, no, it's Abraham. What is that? Father of many nations. All right? And you know as well as I do that there are probably people there in that day, just like they are today, they begin to laugh at it and say, who's he think he is? He didn't have a child when they were younger. Okay? In their 20s and 30s, they didn't have kids. They're going to be a father of a multitude of nations. Are you kidding me? And he changed Sarai to Sarah. God put his name in her, and it meant princess, mother of all nations. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, God quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. All right? Now, we know that in verse 19, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now again, I want to talk about today about becoming fully persuaded, And in these verses that we just read here, this will teach you and me, there's no private interpretation here. The Bible is plain about this, and it teaches us how we can become fully persuaded. Okay? So we're going to talk about that here this morning. Now Sarah was either 90 or 91 years old when she had Isaac, their first child, and then she died at 127 years old. How many 90-year-old people do you know having children today? Okay? God spoke to Abraham when he was 75 until the birth of Isaac, which was 25 years later. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And you know what Isaac, the word Isaac means? It means laughter. That's what the name means, laughter. God made me to laugh. And some of us need some Isaacs in our life. Amen. The Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Okay? But a broken spirit dries the bones. And they say that all the, you know, arthritis and all the different things and osteoporosis, however you say that, it has to do with the bones, drying of the bones. And the Bible says that a merry heart, a happy heart, does good like a medicine. How many of you know it's good to have fun? It's good to laugh. Yes. It's good to not take yourself so seriously. And there's a number of things that can happen in any course of any week to make you not happy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Something might have happened yesterday. You know what I'm saying? But we have to remember, we've got to protect the heart that God's given to us. That's not my subject here this morning. But we're talking about how to become fully persuaded. So if you can become fully persuaded, you can also be partially persuaded. Now, our goal in this is to become fully persuaded. Now, let me give you an example. How many of you here this morning are fully persuaded that if you were to die, I'm not saying you're going to because you're not, you're going to be here. But if you were to die, you go directly to be with Jesus. Raise your hand. You're fully persuaded. They couldn't beat it out of you with a baseball bat. And they shouldn't. You know that your name's written in the book of life. You know that you have eternal life. You've believed on Jesus. And you're fully persuaded. Now, how many of you had Jesus appear to you and confirm the fact that you're born again? Probably nobody. You didn't have an angel appear to you and say, you know, you are now a child of God. Bing, on the top of your head. But you know, you have something stronger than that. You have an inward witness. The Bible says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Amen? And we have this witness in ourself that we're a child of God. There's a witness. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. That inward witness. You know that you're right with God. You made. That doesn't mean you're perfect in the flesh, but your spirit is right with God. Okay? And when you get born again, it's what part of you becomes totally brand new? It's your spirit. The real you. Now, you still have this mind, you still have this body, you know, that we have to deal with and so forth. But the real you, the spirit man, is born again, filled with the life of God. And as we feed upon the Word of God, now, I looked up the word consider. Abraham considered not. And this is the steps that we're going to take here to become fully persuaded. Now, the reason that you believe that you're born again and you're going to heaven if you were to leave this earth is because you have enough scripture inside of you to know I'm okay. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that you're not hesitant about leaving this earth. I don't think anybody is in the natural. You know what I'm saying? But you know that you know on the inside of you that you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, right? And there's a lot of people that don't have that assurance in this life. It's sad. You know what I'm saying? But they can. And the Bible says we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The love of God's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says Abraham considered not his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. So they had physical challenges when it came to receiving from the Lord, right? Now, the word consider, I looked it up in just basic Webster's dictionary. It means to put stock in, confidence in, scrutinize, study, regard. To think about carefully, such as to chew, to scan over, to ponder, to reason. To think of, especially in regard with taking some course of action that you consider first. All right? Have you ever done that? You consider things. If you're going to purchase something, especially if it's a larger purchase, a car or a house or something like that. You know, there's some stuff, you don't just rush into that, right? You consider certain things. If you're buying a vehicle, for example, you consider, well, maybe this one's right, maybe this one's right, maybe that one's not right. You don't just rush into it, okay? So you consider things. And Abraham considered not his own body dead. In other words, unable to have children at that age. Or the deadness of Sarah's womb, because it takes two to make a child, right? You don't have it on your own. And So he had to consider not certain things, but he also had to consider other things in order to be fully persuaded in his faith. Amen? And I say that the more scripture you have on any given subject, in this case healing and divine health, the more scripture you have on any given subject, the more faith and the more confidence you're going to have on the inside of you when it comes to believing God for whatever that is. Okay? Anytime that I've ever wavered in my faith at any point for anything to receive, it's because I had insufficient knowledge of the word inside of me, and it wasn't on God's end, it was on my end, because I need to put some word on the inside of me. Amen? Just give me some scripture, Brother Keith. Amen? That's what I need. We all need that, don't we? And so go to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute here. In Hebrews chapter 11, let's take a look here at verse number 8. It's Hebrews 11. And we know this is like the Hall of Fame for faith. Chapter 11 talks about all the heroes of faith. Well, he goes on to say in verse 8, For by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, and Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs of him the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now look at verse 11. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. You see that? Through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child that when it was past age. Now notice this, because she judged him faithful that promised. So in other words, she pondered and she considered the faithfulness of God, and she judged him faithful. Now I think that's an important step in all of our lives, is to judge God faithful. Amen. In other words, if God said something, and he said a lot of things to us in the Word of God, didn't he? We have to look at that and say, you know what, God, you are faithful to perform what you've said in your Word. Now, when Abraham and Sarah first received the promise, even Sarah, she laughed, remember that? But it was the laugh of unbelief. And the angel heard it, remember that? He said, why did you laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. You're not going to pull one over on God. He says, no, you did laugh. You know, he called her on the carpet. Now, you remember the story with their servant. They had a servant, Hagar. Remember that? And so Sarah began to yield to human reasoning. And she says, I know what God said, but. Now, anytime somebody says, I know what God said, but, we're in trouble. Okay? I know God said, I'm going to become the mother of many nations, but she started to reason in herself, okay? And she says, but you know, Abraham, you know, and here's the thing, a good idea isn't always a God idea. She said, we got this servant, you know, Hagar, she's younger, she can bear children. You know, I don't know any wife that would make that suggestion. I think they have to be out of their minds. But she said, why don't you go and lay with our servant here, Hagar, and maybe God meant that he's going to use her, right? So, you know, Abraham says, all right, sounds good to me. And here comes their child, Ishmael, okay? And Ishmael and Isaac will always be at odds, because Ishmael is a son of the child of the flesh, okay? And God says, no, I meant Sarah is to bear you children, not Hagar, okay? And to this day, that's why you have the Arabs and the Israelites still at war after thousands of years with one another, because Ishmael came out, and there's always going to be war between the flesh and the spirit. Okay? Now, that was a bad choice. That was a wrong decision, wasn't it? God couldn't have stopped them, because that was their choice to go that route. However, something is working, because Abraham was able to bear a child through Hagar, right? So you should look at the little things when things are working. You're like, yeah, that's working. And I think it's really important that we understand that so many times all of us, I think it's human nature, we're looking for those big things that happen in our life. We're like, that was God right there. Okay? And we do have those once in a while, those big things that happen. But on the other hand, we should always be looking at even something small, even a small little improvement, a small little progress, and you latch on to that when you see something even small. Because so many times people get, they get disillusioned. We've all been there, haven't we? But they got to the point where they became fully persuaded, and the Bible says right here in Hebrews that she judged God faithful. That's what Sarah did. She judged and said, you know, God, you're faithful. I may not have started out that way. Because sometimes we have the impression that Abraham and Sarah just started out as faith giants, like on top of the mountain. You ever thought that before? But when God initially spoke to them, they had a hard time. They were staggering. That's why Ishmael came, okay? Because they mentally reasoned to try to figure it out how God was going to do this. Well, if you're going to have a child, well, it must be through Hagar. It must be through some young woman. You know, now, the culture back then is completely different than it is today. You understand that, okay? There was polygamy back in those days, okay? All right? And I don't think you want more than one husband, more than one wife, okay? You got one to take care of. That's enough right there. Okay? But the Lord told them, and he meant what he said. How many of you know when God says something, that he always means what he says? And he doesn't change. If God said, by my stripes, ye were healed since 2,000 years ago, has he changed his mind about that? Of course not. Okay? Now there may be things that we have to do to change and realign and get ourselves in position to receive. You know, even on any given football team, you have different positions on football. You know, you have like wide receiver. And their job pretty much is to catch passes. And they, you know, you got to be pretty wiry and strong and fast to be one of those guys, you know. But when they have different plays that they call, they have to be in the position to receive the quarterback's throw so they can make that diving catch, okay? Now, a lot of times we're not in position to receive what God has already sent to us, but our job is to get in position, follow the playbook, so to speak, put ourselves in a position where we're in a position to receive from God, amen? Now, for example, today, you're in position. You came to the service here this morning. We're doing healing school, okay? By doing that, by coming here this morning, you're more in a position to receive what God wants to give you. But there are people that are sick in their bodies that won't put themselves in a healing school or listen to a teaching tape or go to a meeting or feed their faith. And they're like, God, why aren't you doing something? The Lord's saying, you need to get in position to receive what God is saying. Are you with me now? And that's with anything. We got to be in position. When I go to meetings, for example, make a long story real short, you know, whatever meetings or so forth that God leads us to go into as a family, you know, we go with a purpose in mind, is that we're going to receive from the anointing that's in that minister, that woman, that man, and whether it's a church service or a big meeting, and we're going specifically to say, I am receiving today in Jesus' name, and he never fails. Amen? Okay, so Abraham considered not his own body, but to become strong in faith and become fully persuaded, we need to consider not certain things, but we need to consider other things. Go to Hebrews 3, verse 1, and I'll show you right here. In Hebrews 3, 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession or profession, Christ Jesus. Now the word profession is actually the Greek word for confession. All right. Now notice the word consider here. Now it says we're partakers of the heavenly calling. We're to consider Jesus. Now Abraham considered not his body or Sarah's body, but he considered him faithful. That's what Sarah did. I considered him faithful. Amen? And so when you consider Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of your profession, in other words, he is the high priest of your confession. What does that mean? The high priest. What's that all about? Well, Jesus, his part of his you know, he's still at the right hand of God the Father. And there's a present day ministry of Jesus Christ where he sits at the right hand of God where he ever lives to make intercession for us. But one of his responsibilities, even to this day, even right now, he's the high priest of our confession. So what does that mean? That means we've got to give him words so that he can go and bring it to pass. You see, when you say, Father, I thank you that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24 and Matthew 8:17, that himself, Jesus, took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, and by his stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago. And you say that, the Lord says, okay, I can work with that. He's the high priest of your profession, your confession. So if we're not giving him raw material to work with, for example, a carpenter has tools. A plumber has tools. An electrician has tools. For them to do their job, if you call in a plumber and you need some plumbing done in your house and things aren't working right, he's got certain tools to fix the problems in your house. If you have electrical problems, you don't call a plumber, you call an electrician. An electrician has certain tools of the trade to fix what's going on inside of your home. Okay? Now, without those tools, they might have the knowledge to fix it, but they need the tools to go ahead and fix what's wrong. Are you with me? Now, Jesus has all the tools to fix every problem that we have in this life. But what does he need from us? He needs our words. He's called the high priest of our confession. And the very first thing that God did with Abram is he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. And so when he heard Abraham, he wasn't hearing just Abraham. He was hearing father of many nations, father of many nations. He's saying, he's calling those things which be not as though they were. And you know, there were scoffers and people that were laughing, I'm sure, at him, saying, ha, 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 I mean, who's he think he is? This old man should be in a rocking chair. And he's talking about having children, let alone a father of multitude of nations. Amen. And God said, you know, when you count the stars at night, he gave him two object lessons, one by day, one by night. He said, when you're out on the seashore during the day catching rays, and you look at the sand granules on the beach, he said, if you can count those granules, he said, that'll be the number of your descendants. At nighttime, if you're out there stargazing, you're looking up in the stars. And back then, there was no lights or pollution or anything, so you could see probably the Milky Way. You know what I'm saying? Did you ever see the Milky Way before? You got to be in certain parts of the country to see it. Amen? Looks like a big cow. I'm just kidding. But he said, if you can count the stars, that'll be your descendants. So God is changing his image to father of many nations. So to become fully persuaded, like Abraham was fully persuaded, he had to consider not certain things, but he had to consider other things. So what did he consider not? He considered not the age of his physical body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Those were two things that he said, you can't consider those things. But what did he consider? The promise, the word of God. Amen. And I would say, you know, for all of us here, to become fully persuaded is a process. There's some things you can be really fully persuaded on. I mean, you just, like your salvation, you can be, and we should be fully assured. We should be fully persuaded that if we're leaving this earth, we know exactly where we're going. Because there's enough scripture to back that up. You know, your whole belief system is based on the Word of God. So you're fully persuaded. Listen, if you can become fully persuaded in one area, you can also become fully persuaded in another area. Now, sad to say, a lot of Christians are not in a position where they're hearing words that will produce faith for those areas of their life. the average person, the average Christian out there thinks, well, God can heal. God can heal. But, you know, you never know what God's going to do. People preach that from the podiums across America. There's some churches that actually preach that. You never know what God's going to do. Maybe God has a purpose in this. Did you ever hear that before? No, you can't reason those things out and have strong faith. Some people say, preachers I've heard through the years, I've been around a long time in these things, 30 plus years. And you hear people say, well, God can heal, but you know, it's better to pray, if it be thy will, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me, you know, and if I'm not healed, then it must not be your will. Listen, when Jesus prayed that prayer, that was only for the prayer of consecration and dedication in the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll never see him praying that anywhere else. That's the prayer of consecration and dedication. So you can't take the rule that applies to that prayer and apply it to the prayer of faith and try to pray healing for yourself and say, Lord, if it's your will, heal me. Because I guarantee you, most of the time, that person won't be healed. They won't be healed. Because that's just wishing and hoping. Okay? And the devil will always come along and say, well, you're not one of the ones. Anyway, you're not going to get healed. Do you ever notice that? The devil's so negative. He's super negative, isn't he? But our God is super positive. Now let's go over real quick here. How much time do we got here? Boy, we're running out of time already here. Let's go to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Numbers chapter 21. So you might say it like this. You have the facts versus the truth. You've heard me say that before. You've got facts and then truth, facts and truth. Okay. And we have to look at both of those things and consider. We need to ponder and think, okay, which direction am I going to go here? Or Abraham considered not his own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he was strong. He became strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. It's, what does that mean? It says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is before Isaac ever showed up. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. All right? What does that mean? That meant he gave thanks and he gave praise to God before Isaac ever showed up, before Sarah became pregnant. He said, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm the father of many nations. It said he gave glory to God. He became strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, how many of you know, listen really carefully, any of us here, it's easy to give glory to God after the manifestation comes through. And we should. But a man or a woman of faith is able to stare at negative circumstances and say, ha, 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 Father, I thank you right now. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, and you still got pain in your body. You still got symptoms in your body. But yet you judge him faithful and you say, nope, I thank you, Father. You healed me 2,000 years ago. You paid the price for me, and I'm thanking you for it right now. What are you doing? You're giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. You're not waiting to be healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. Were your sins paid for? Does Jesus have to come down, get on a cross, and die every time a person gets born again? Does he? Not a trick question. No, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. It's a done deal. It's a one-time sacrifice. That's why when Moses struck the rock twice, he couldn't get into the promised land because that rock was Christ. And Christ was struck once. Okay? Stop and think about that. God just didn't have a hard day one day and said, I'm going to keep you out of the promised land today. I'm in a bad mood today. No, that rock was Christ, the Bible says, and he struck it twice. He disobeyed God. Now, of course, he went to heaven, you know, but Jesus Christ does not have to come down every time a person gets saved, get on a cross, be nailed to the cross, go to hell, be raised on the third day every time a person gets born again. All that's left is for you and me to believe on what happened 2,000 years ago. That's what it says. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say hallelujah. And so your confession. He's the high priest of your profession, your confession. And when you say, Jesus, come into my heart, bam, you go from darkness to light instantly. You go from the power of darkness to the power of God instantly by saying Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, the same thing is true in other areas. Faith works the same in every single realm. It's not different for healing. It's for salvation. It's the same thing. You believe the word, you say what it says, and you receive it in your heart. Praise God. And now, so we see here in Numbers here, talking about the Israelites. And it says, and they journeyed from Mount Or by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and our soul loatheth or hateth this manna. Verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Now, don't let the King James throw you there, because it didn't mean that God did it. It just, the Hebrew actually meant that God permitted. There's a difference. God didn't cause it. He just permitted it. It said the Lord permitted fiery serpents among the people, and they bit people, and much people died in Israel. Verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray for the Lord, pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, now here's what I want you to see. The Lord said unto Moses, make of thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And when he looketh upon it, he that looketh upon it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any person, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Okay? Now, there's a lot in here, of course. But the Bible says that God was leading them from his goal here. God was taking them from the wilderness into the promised land. And it says the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way or the process. Have you ever been discouraged in the process of receiving from the Lord? Did you know the easiest thing to do in the process of receiving from the Lord is, guess what? Give up. Quit. And here's another thing, just for something to think about here. When they became discouraged, they couldn't see where God was trying to get them. All they could see was the immediate. You ever hear the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? Okay. They couldn't see the fact God's trying to bring them into a much better land, but all they could see was desert. They even said, we're tired of this manna. God was supernaturally feeding them. And you know, that manna had everything. You talk about a superfood. Can you imagine eating manna? It's all sustaining. Everything's in it. Imagine health stores selling jars of manna. But that manna sustained them. Amen. That manna sustained them. And they said, we're tired of this. We're tired of this. And then, did you notice what happened when they were discouraged? What did they do? They opened their mouth and they began to criticize Moses, their leader. Amen. And criticize the Lord. Bad choice. And that's what happens a lot of times. When people get discouraged, they start blaming the preacher. I've had it happen. My life would be so much better, Pastor, if it wasn't for you. You know, there are people like that, trust me. Okay? And they've always got, but it, you know, the thing is, you're not the one, you just happen to be the person right there at that time, but there's a host of other people they're criticizing. Along the way, they blame their husband, blame their wife, blame their kids, blame their where they live, what side of the city they grew up on. You know, blame and blame, the blame game. It's easy to do that. And they opened their mouth and they criticized. And the Bible says God sent, or he allowed, fiery serpents among the people. Now, here's the thing. Were the serpents out there before they criticized? Were they? They were there. They were still in the wilderness. Those, what do you call them? Those cobras. Okay. One of the deadliest snakes in the world. that big hood on, you know. And those snakes were out there prior to them opening their mouth and grumbling and complaining. But did you know that they didn't have power over them until they broke? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, I think it is, whoever breaketh a hedge, the serpent shall bite him. A hedge is protection, a wall of protection. Boy, the Lord showed me that one time and I thought, oh God. It convicted me to realize, because it's so easy to grumble and it's so easy to complain, isn't it? Boy, you know, it's taken so long. Why is this taking so long? Dear God, you know? And but what happens is we don't even realize it. We open up the door, and there are professional complainers, even Christians, that are professional complainers, and they bellyache and complain. Now, if we yield to that, we can say, Father, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that, and get right back, get back under the blood of Jesus. Amen. But see, the serpent is a type of the devil. And the devil didn't have any power over them until they began to grumble and complain. And they figured it out. They said, oh God, we've messed up here. So they came to Moses and said, we've sinned against you and against God. Please do something about this. And you know, Moses, the Bible says he was the meekest person that ever walked the planet. It says that in the book of Numbers. And he wrote that. God gave it to him, you know. You see, when Moses was up on the backside of the, when he was up there with God for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't just get the Ten Commandments. It wouldn't take that long. The Lord downloaded to him supernaturally. When the Bible says God, he says, I'm going to show you all my back parts. You know what that means? I'm going to show you from the future to the past. I'm going to show you everything. That didn't just mean his backside. Who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. He wasn't there in the Garden of Eden. But you know what? When he was up on the mountain, God took him there and showed him what happened. Showed him the days of creation. Amen. Showed him everything that happened. And he recorded supernaturally. It was downloaded into his spirit. He was able to document the first five books of the Bible called the Pentateuch. Okay? And of course, he wasn't there for all that. But when he was up on that cleft of the rock up there, up on the mountain there, the mountain of God that exists to this day. It's a burnt peak because the presence of God, it's the only mount anywhere in the world, the highest mountain over in Arabia, that's where it is. The presence of God would come down and the mountain would shake. Remember that? You can look it up. And the top of that mountain is burnt peak. It's not volcanic. There was a presence of God would come, the fire of God would come down on that thing. In fact, over in the same area, right there is the split rock of Horeb, where God commanded Moses to strike the rock or speak to the rock, and the water came out. And that rock is 60 feet tall and split right down the middle. You can look it up and see it. It's still there. Okay? The altar, the golden calf altar, is still there. The stones that they set up, there's hieroglyphics of Egyptian cattle written all over those rocks that are still there 3,500 years ago, still there. The 12 pillars that God said set up around the camp, and none of the Israelites are supposed to cross these barriers because of the presence of God. Those pillars that are man-made out of marble are still there. They're still there. Okay? And I just thought I'd throw that in there for extra. But those serpents were there. But they didn't have any power over them until they began to grumble and complain. And then the serpents came out and bit them. Now here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to get to this, praise the Lord, is that God gave them instructions. And Moses could have said, oh, you talked about me, huh? Let's just let you suffer for a while. But see, the heart of Moses was the heart of God. He was a heart of love. Amen? Not that he didn't get frustrated. I mean, can you imagine having a congregation of a few million people? You're going to get frustrated. Amen? But here's the thing. The Lord said this. Here's what you're supposed to do. Make of thee a brazen serpent. And that's where the pharmaceutical industry, you see that snake on a pole, that's where that came from. Now, I'm just going to quote this because of time, but you'll see in John chapter 3 and verse 14. Why don't you bring that up here, Josh? John chapter 3 and verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, why didn't God put a lamb on the pole? Because it doesn't make sense to me, but the serpent is symbolic of the curse. And Jesus said, I must be lifted up and become the curse. In Galatians 3:13, Christ became a curse for us. He was the most cursed person that ever lived on this earth because he took the human race, the curse for every man and woman that ever lived on this earth. He took it for us. And they see, that serpent that was about probably 100 foot tall, they put it up there so that there's over 2 million Israelites. You have to understand that. And whoever was bitten by the serpent, whoever looked upon the brazen serpent was made whole of whatever problem they had. Isn't that something? So they had to be healed. They had to consider not the snake bite, and they had to consider the serpent. Now, here's something interesting about this. When it says, whoever looketh upon the serpent shall be made whole. That word looketh is not a mere glance. Like, it's a continual stare. Isn't that something? It's a continual stare. So in other words, don't bother me right now. I'm staring. I'm fixated on the right thing. They considered not the snake bite, but they considered the brazen serpent is a type of Christ. Jesus said there, if I be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in John 3, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Hallelujah. And so when you look upon Jesus, how do we look upon Jesus? We look on the Word of God. So we're talking about how to become fully persuaded. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And then when he's 100 years old, here comes baby Isaac. Hallelujah. So I wanted to tie all that in because, man, we just don't have enough time. I'll read this very quickly. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, how much to their flesh? To all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee the froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. So we know this scripture, we've said this before, but you'll notice that he mentions two parts of the body, your eyes and your ears. Isn't there a hospital somewhere in Pittsburgh, Eye and Ear Hospital? Is there? I've heard that before. Okay. All right. Just checking. But the Lord said this. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Why? Because they are life to those that find them and health. The word health there is medicine in the Hebrew, medicine. The word of God is life and medicine to how much of your flesh? All of your flesh. So that means we have to guard what we have to be, we have to consider and ponder. Abraham considered not, but he also considered the faithfulness of God to become fully persuaded. So how do we become fully persuaded? We keep our eyes and our ears on the Word of God. What does the Bible say? What does the Scripture say? Amen. There's not too many times in my life, but I've had different people call me from time through the years, you know, and say, Pastor, I'm going through something. Give me some scripture. Boy, I tell you what, when someone says, that's like sick them to a dog, you know, it's like, just give me some scripture. Now, a lot of people just want to rehearse the problem over and talk about how bad it is, how bad they've been mistreated and all this kind of stuff, you know, and just get into the nitty gritty of the problem. But what they need is some word. They need some scripture. Okay? Because the Word of God has all sustaining power on the inside of it. The Word of God will save you. The Word of God will heal you. The Word of God will deliver you. And so we put stock in this church, and every church should. We should put stock on what does God's Word say. Hallelujah. The Lord told, through Paul the Apostle, he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, I believe it was. He goes, the word that I preached to you, he said, you didn't receive it as the word of man, but the word of God, which effectually works inside of you. He goes, when I came to you, you didn't just take it as Paul's word. You said you believed it was God's word through me. And he said, because of that, your faith is effectually working. Amen? And you know, your faith is working right now. Your faith is being fed the word of God right now. But he said, watch what goes in your eyes. Watch what goes in your ears. And I'll close with this. You know, we talked about truth versus facts. Truth, facts. It's like that big scale. You know, those scales, old-fashioned scales. You ever see that? Okay, well, the fact may be that you have a pain. The fact may be you have a sickness or a disease. All right? That's the facts. The truth is the word. Thy word is truth. John said that. Jesus said, thy word is, in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so when facts contradict truth, you go with the truth. You go with the truth. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to doctors. Okay, we're not preaching that. Okay, God will still help give the doctor wisdom. He'll work with them. Hallelujah. I mean, God is not just limited to divine health and divine healing. Okay, he can use doctors too. Okay, if it wasn't for a lot of doctors, most of us wouldn't even be here. Okay, but here's the thing. The truth, if we base what we believe on the truth of God's word, then we can become fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Say fully persuaded. Why is that so important? Because that's how we receive. Amen. Now just go ahead and lay your hands. We're out of time here. Just go ahead and lay your hands on yourself right now. And I want you to say this out loud, because that's how you release your faith, is through your words. Heavenly Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ is the high priest of my confession. I make a bold declaration right now that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I command health and healing to flow into my body. Thank you, Lord. I count you faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's just praise Him for a minute here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'll leave you with the fact that, remember what Abraham said? He became strong in faith and he gave glory to God before Isaac ever showed up. So I just encourage you to cultivate from this moment forward, cultivate giving thanks, giving praise for things that your eyes haven't seen yet.